This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Griplock Foundation Disc Golf's weekly podcast. I'm Hunter, joined as always by Trevor and Connor. We got quite the show going on this week. The Pro Tour announced finally their end of season awards. Finally. You know, that season that happened 3 months ago. Chandler Kramer's made some big announcements, as well as a few other things happening over at Lone Star. DGN 2.0 was released. We got a little Trevor's trivia. Yes. We got an update on the Paul Macbeth and Dylan Cease lawsuit. And then we'll end out with In the Bag and a fun new game. But all that comes your way right after this ad read.
This episode is brought to you by a product that is near and dear to my heart, and that is Mudwater. Mudwater is meant to replace coffee. It's a really healthy substitute for coffee because a lot of times coffee leaves you with jitters and a huge crash, and there's not really a lot of great things for you in there. There's a lot of caffeine in it. But Mudwater is made up of four functional mushrooms, and what that does is each of those ingredients gives you different kinds of energy, and it's a more sustainable energy with even less caffeine in it. It's awesome. It's just a powder that you mix into. You can do hot water, you can do it iced, you can do it however. I choose to do it basically the same way I make coffee. I mix it into hot water. Well, I don't do that with coffee, but I mix it into hot water, and then I'll just put whatever creamer I would put into my coffee into Mudwater, and it literally tastes just like a chai tea latte. I don't really know how they do it because there's all these different healthy ingredients involved with Mudwater, but it doesn't taste like I'm just drinking a bunch of mushrooms or a bunch of weird ingredients. It tastes like I'm literally drinking a chai tea latte. And so it's really a beverage that I think tastes good. And it's not just like one of those things that's not bad for you. It's actually really good for you. It's Whole30 approved, 100% USDA certified and organic, non-GMO. And it's gluten-free, vegan, and kosher. So basically, whoever you are, you can drink it as long as you fall under one of those categories. And Mudwater is doing an awesome deal for you guys, our Griplock listeners. If you go to mudwater.com, and that's mudwtr.com/foundation, then you're going to get $20 off, $20 off your subscription, and you're going to get a free frother, and you're going to get free samples of their coconut creamer and sweetener, which are delicious. So again, that is mudwater.com/foundation, mudwtr.com/foundation. Thank you, Mudwater.
Thanks, Mudwater.
We're going to kick things off here with a little Patreon question of the week. So if you're wondering where on earth this comes from, it's from patreon.com/foundationdiscgolf. We have a weekly podcast over there called the Heiser Club Mailbag. That's what we refer to our Patreon as. And basically, you ask whatever question you want, and we answer each and every one of them. That obviously comes with a slew of other benefits, such as exclusive monthly videos, behind-the-scenes vlogs, behind-the-scenes just random pictures of like unboxings and all kinds of fun stuff. So you're not going to miss that out.
Shout out to Esteban this week.
Garcia.
Esteban Garcia, my guy.
This one actually comes from Stephen Belial. He says, what's more important for the design of hole 18 on the Pro Tour? A scenic one that allows for large galleries and great viewing of the hole, such as hole 18 at Fox Run, or scoring separation that allows for big swings to create drama and possibly have a more exciting ending? The example he chose is hole 18 at Open at Austin. Obviously, there's a healthy combo that's ideal, such as 18 at Waco, but I feel like a lot of courses completely neglect 18, needing to be memorable from a viewing standpoint. Imagine 2020 Worlds with little to no crowd being able to view that shot. So what's more important? Basically, scenic allows for large galleries or scoring separation?
Yeah.
If you have to choose one of
these. Well, he threw in like a the caveat of like the world shot, and here's what there is a there's an interesting balance because right now the galleries for most Pro Tour events are kind of like meh. Like you could smash them into just about any disc golf hole and it would be fine. Worlds and USDDC in particular are going to have your biggest galleries of the year probably in like European Open. So like they have to be thinking completely differently than most every other tournament during the entire season. So they're kind of outliers because they have to think a lot more about the gallery. Because I would say most Pro Tour events can get away with leaning more towards let's just make it a good hole 18 because most of our people are watching online anyways. There's like a few hundred people at the event. But, you know, obviously, if you were going to build a course that you wanted to be around for a long time and, like, be able to continue to work on tour, you need to make sure it has that, like, future-proofness to it. Like, there needs to be space for spectators. But, like, if hole 18 can only fit 500 people on it, that's not a problem in most Pro Tour events, I feel like.
So you're leaning more toward it's more important for scoring separation.
Right now.
So yeah. You're leaning more towards it doesn't really matter right now. Because it
no, it doesn't matter about
enough people.
It doesn't. It's not super important to worry about the spectators. If spectators were like, if we had 5,000 people at every event, I would say that both are super important. But you have to like then it's like the spectators come first because they're here. We have to accommodate them no matter what. We have to work around them. But if they're not there and there's only a few of them, then you don't really have to consider that as much.
I have a question that might like help answer this question a little bit more. What is more like beneficial to disc golf? The at-home viewing experience being really good or the in-person experience being really good? What makes disc golf like bigger in the long run?
Like for money growth, you're saying?
Yeah.
Currently, the at-home viewing experience. Well, simply because you, right, like as of last numbers we saw, I don't know if it went up or down, there were like 44,000 people that were subscribed to DGN.
Yeah.
That money goes straight to the Pro Tour, which will go to enhancing eventually the in-person experience.
Yeah.
The problem is if you focus so much on the in-person experience and you neglect the at-home experience, you're not going to draw in more than a few hundred more people. You increase from 500 to 600, whereas an increase on the DGN side might go from 44,000 to 50,000.
Yeah, you have to know what's realistic and like how many people are realistically going to show up to a disc golf event. And right now that pool just isn't even that big to begin with. It's not like, I don't really believe, you know, it might be fun to kind of fantasize about this, but I don't really believe that there's these 1,000 people pools that would go to a disc golf tournament that aren't because of something that's going on at the disc golf tournament or like or a lack of spectator accommodation
a concert will get them out of the woodwork.
Yeah, like I just think that's just fiction at that point. But there's already a huge group of people that are at least subscribing to the Pro Tour Network. I think there's a lot of people, like probably majority of the people who are subscribed just don't even watch it,
which is crazy.
Which is
doesn't make sense.
That just shows you this how good the subscription model is in this country.
Yeah.
But that is, I think that's where you focus first because you need to retain them. Like that's already money you have. You need to make sure you keep it and slowly grow it. It would be one thing if we got to a point in our sport where we're like, why are we getting 30, 40,000 people watching live and 300 people to show up in person? Then at that point, it's like, okay, the scales are a little bit off. I do think
Are they though? Because what's the scale of like an NFL football game?
Well, there's also expense related to that. It's not a tour. There's games in every city.
Okay, a PGA tour.
If you took everybody, I'd be interested to know the scale. If you took every person in every stadium spectating an NFL game that day and compared it to the broadcast, it'd probably be a little more interesting. But I don't know. I have no idea.
No, okay, a PGA tour. Like is 300 like right now?
Yeah.
How like many viewers does the PGA 000. Tour
have like on TV versus in
like let's
person?
Say the ratio you just did of 300 to 40,000. How far off is that?
I have no idea.
Because like a million some people are watching a weekend golf event, right?
Like on TV.
Yeah.
And
you probably have 10,000 people in person.
Let's try and figure out.
That's 1%.
It depends on if how you count your spectators, right? Because like, I guess if you just went one
like Saturday to Saturday.
Like if you just like took
Saturday
to Saturday.
Or I guess it'd be Sunday. Final day on in grounds, final day online. Not of the Masters.
Yeah, let's just.
But of like.
How many.
The waste management.
Spectator. Well, that's the most heavily spectated event. They have six-figure people there. Like.
Okay, then they got Wells Fargo.
I think they put like 100,000 in that.
I was just trying to say one that's like not going to be heavy on. Like the Masters is going to be watched at home so much. Because like people who don't watch golf event. While he's Googling that, I'll just answer this question. I think that currently it's important to have the green accessible to spectators.
They were expecting, but I think 30K the rest of the to 40K okay. fans a day.
That makes
Quail
sense.
Hollow when, okay. when we were there.
So 40K a day, and then what? How like how many people were watching it
many
at home?
TV viewers. This is actually interesting. How many TV viewers Wells Fargo Classic? Because I have no idea what that ratio is. Let's see. Golf TV ratings. This might be difficult to find. Let's just see. Let's just go to this golf TV rating and see what this says here. Final round. Okay, this is from 2023. This was the final round of the PGA Tour Travelers Championship, and that averaged 2.44 million viewers. So let's just use the figure 2.5 million and 40,000. So you have...
So that's 1.6%.
Okay, so 1.6%.
So if there was 40,000 people watching,
yeah,
times 0.016, that would be the equivalent of 600 people being in person.
Okay, okay.
So right now we are a very heavy in person sport compared to online.
Is that an accurate way to make that argument?
I don't know.
Though
I was just saying.
I don't know that. Yeah, I don't really know that necessarily.
Because like we probably have 600 people showing up to an in person event, and there's only probably 6,000 watching online.
You also have to factor in the barrier to entry to get into the event. Like going to a PGA Tour event is an investment. Well, some Pro Tour events
are expensive these days.
Yeah, I would say they should be cheaper than they are. But I feel like there might be a little, that might not be a perfect argument, but it is interesting to look at. I feel like a disc golf Pro Tour at any given place, if they choose the right places, should be able to have on the weekend 1,000 to 2,000 spectators a day.
I would agree.
Like, I don't think that should be that crazy. And I just feel like if a Pro Tour rolled into our town, we could get 1,000 people on the weekend. But I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Well, yeah, Lynchburg you could, but the question is 5 years from now, could you still?
Right. That's the thing. People, they got to establish. That is where, I will say, that is where, like, your on-site activation does matter. I think one of the issues with the Pro Tour right now is that new events pop up every year. So you have all these events trying to start tradition. Because here's how it works. We went to a PGA Tour event this past summer.
Going back, baby.
We went and we want to go right back because we had an experience there. So like if a Pro Tour event put all this work into activation and they had 300 people, they'd probably feel like that was a failure. But the activation isn't to get people there. That only does so much. What it does now is everybody who is there, maybe now 80% want to go back and another 20% are going to bring their friends. And then you grow marginally that way. And it spreads word of mouth because people go and they say, that was an awesome time. You need to come to this next year. Like, that's what activation is for. And I think when you have so many events that are starting anew, they might put work into that and then not see an initial turnout and be like, well, what was that for? Well, it's for the following years. Like, you have to just build something. So
I still think
it'll come along eventually.
I think that one of the biggest barriers is just the pricing. Like, some of these Pro Tour events, you have to pay $15 or $20 for your cheapest ticket. And like, we would go, if that was in Lynchburg, we'd go. But it's going to be a lot harder for me to convince my friend who doesn't really watch much disc golf to come with me and be like, yeah, you got to pay $20 and go walk and watch a sport you've never heard of.
I would like to see them play around with their pricing models a little bit.
The thing is, once you get people in the grounds, then you're selling to a hungry crowd and you're the only option for food. You're the only option for all this stuff. So your pricing can be a little bit more premium on that end. You can make your margin up there. Even discs. I mean, we see when we go to USDGC, some of the like Innova trailers are charging like $35 for a Halo disc that's custom stamped.
I think
it's like you would never be able to do that online, but since you're at USDGC and you're walking through, you have this like, well, when else am I going to see that disc type of a, when that's not really the mentality you should have, but you're able to sell stuff for a lot more expensive. I think that's where you can make more money versus trying to nickel and dime everyone and then you have half the people show up that would.
Well, I think disc golf is betting on the side of, let's say, like, maybe they've done their studies. I don't know. Maybe they've tried this out before. But I think what disc golf is figuring is if you have a pool of 500, like, diehard disc golf fans and then 100, well, I would go if it were cheap fans, you're going to just want to price out the disc golf fans because they're going to go no matter what.
Yeah.
And then you're not really losing that much. That would be the feasibility study that you would have to conduct to get the pricing model correct. Because if that's true, I don't necessarily, I'm with you. I don't necessarily think this is true. I think there would be people who would show up if it were cheaper. But like if a pro tour rolled into our town, and the for the diehard disc golf fans, you could probably charge them a pretty good penny and they would still go because like that is just
well, there's
awesome.
A point of diminishing returns though. Because like you would get to a certain point where like
it just depends on how many people are sitting in that we would go if it were too cheap field. And
but I'm saying there's a point where even diehard disc golfers become that.
I agree.
Like
I
20
agree.
Bucks is
I don't
already,
think they're at that at the moment.
20 bucks, you're already kind of like, I mean, to be a VIP, to get a VIP pass for some of these like 4-day events is like 150, 200 bucks.
Yeah. Well, that's the VIP though. Like you can go general admission and get a weekend pass for like, I feel like 35 bucks.
Weekend pass probably. Yeah. Yeah.
Where Which like that's, 2 days, that's, 35 that's what bucks. Most people are going to do.
Though. I'm just saying it's like, that's already, there's some diehard disc golf fans that's already like, 35 bucks.
I don't think diehard disc golf fan, not the right word. There are some casual disc golf fans who would diehard disc golf fans.
Okay, so casual
bucks.
Though, if it's 20 bucks for the weekend pass, they're showing up.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. This is a price, their pricing model. I don't know how much they've fleshed it out. Like, I would like to see them experiment.
I just know whenever I see the tickets come up, I'm every time, 95% of the time, I'll say, I look at it and I go, that's just too expensive.
I agree. I would like to see them take one event close to a good city center and say, for this one event, we're going to make all of our tickets like $5 or like super cheap and just see what happens. And if that proves to be like...
Or make admission free.
Something.
Make admission free and just, you know, you're going to sell food and drink. Like make admission free, no outside food or drinks.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'd love to see how much USDGC made off of food. Well, I guess it's weird because they're food trucks.
I mean, but vending and stuff like they. Yeah. USDGC
didn't
takes
make
a,
anything off of the food.
USDGC, yeah, they do because they take a percentage off the top of every sale. Everyone, that whole vending village, you owe them a percentage off the top. Just, of your
oh,
those
that's
trucks
true, yeah.
had to have done awesome.
That's
that
what
week.
I'm saying.
That's true.
All every vendor there had an awesome weekend. I heard some of the sales target. I know we had a very solid weekend. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I'm allowed to say the percentage, but every single vendor there is giving USDGC a percentage of your top line sale.
Is it a pretty decent?
It's a decent percentage.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. No,
it is.
So, I mean, they made easily six figures, I would say, off of vending alone.
It is honestly crazy when you think about, like, once you get into the business side of USDGC and you know how much money they're raking in, because, like, you know what kind of cuts they're taking, you know what ticket prices are. It's insane to think about if they did this at a park venue, which that would probably just never work. But if they were to invest in a venue and then never have to pay to rent out each year, because we also know how much it costs for that, mm-hmm. they would make so much money.
Yeah.
Like, because they spend a lot of money on Winthrop, and they're making a lot of money, but it has to go straight into that. I'm sure a good bit of it does. Like, man, it kind of stinks that they're tied to that property, because they are one of the few things in disc golf that, like, they have a really profitable tournament model that is just like, yeah, it's a freight train.
Yeah. You know? Because that's the thing. I'm going to leave this subject after this. But the thing with USDGC is they have earned the right to charge the ticket prices they do. When I first started going, I don't think I paid to go. If I did, it was very cheap the first year or two I went.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't really remember. There definitely wasn't like security not letting me into certain different parking
areas.
Yeah,
that's like
I know like I didn't pay ago. The first year I went, but I didn't know if I was supposed to.
Yeah. I think I'm in the same boat. So we're just going to assume if you were supposed to pay, it wasn't
I hope there's a statute of limitations on
second
that.
Second year I did pay, though,
but
it was expensive.
Now they can charge me like 30 bucks or 40 bucks, whatever, but I know my experience, so I'm going to pay it.
That is
because
true.
They've earned the right to charge that.
Whereas
they've
been good stewards, too,
a lot of the Pro Tour, though, is like, brand new event, you have no history of what you're about to get. Pay us $40 for the weekend. It's like, what?
Yeah. We all know that the start low and raise prices and take things away model works. Just ask Netflix. if you give somebody a product that they just have to be a part of, like, they will be okay with prices getting raised, or they won't be, but they actually will continue to pay it.
Ask YouTube TV.
I'm canceling my Netflix. I swear I'll do it this time.
YouTube TV. I'm paying basically what I was paying for cable before.
Yeah.
And I I still feel like I'm getting cable.
Yeah.
I did the opposite. I've got we paid for Netflix for this month so that Gabby could watch the Taylor Swift movie while she was homesick the other day.
There you go.
Yeah. I can't forget to cancel that.
As a subscription model, baby, that's how there's 45,000 of you paying for DGN right now. Actually, I'd be fascinated to hear DGN's current subscriber number.
I think it just dropped because we just mentioned it twice.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, has it gone up or down? Because that article was like a year ago or 2 years ago.
Yeah.
A year and a half ago. Like, I'd be curious, like, did they stay the same? Have they grown? Like, is it 60,000 now? Mm. Or is it 20,000?
There's
no way to know. They just have to post it. So Chandler Kramer
posted. Bring
back
the live chat.
Yeah. I wonder with DGN 2.0 if that will be one of the things. We'll look into it.
Can't bring it back.
Chandler Kramer posted on, I believe originally on Instagram, but he also shared it to Twitter.
Crame Dog.
And he said, I want to say thank you to Lone Star for the last 2 years. You're welcome. Still remember the first time I sat down and talked with Terry Dillard about my goals in disc golf and how I wanted to help grow Lone Star to try and make it one of the biggest manufacturing brands in the sport. I appreciate the opportunity and support Lone Star gave me to allow myself to get my name out there in the Pro Tour as well as my entire disc golf community. Going into 2024, I will not be returning to Lone Star. Thank you to everyone that has supported me through my career so far. It means a lot. Where do you think I will go? Who do you think should pick me up? Let me know in the comments.
No Crame Dog Warbird.
That sounded like a free agency cry for help right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, so he's leaving without knowing where he's going. Or is
that
he just
post would make you sound seem that way? But
Lone Star is currently just verbal meme. It's like that dog that's sitting in the room that's on fire and it just says, this is fine.
Well,
that's basically Lone Star right now.
Because I think Robert Burridge left as well, I believe.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
I heard from someone that Robert Burridge is leaving.
I don't know
if that's official.
The bird dog?
I've heard that he's leaving. I don't know if that's official yet, but I've heard Robert Burridge is leaving.
I didn't hear about Robert Burridge.
But I
knew that they had some staff.
Because like we had Chandler Kramer leave. That's not like people leave their sponsors all the time.
Yeah.
But then their marketing guy, Josh Hofstra, posted on Instagram.
And this one breaks my heart a little bit.
And says, over the past 2+ years, I've had the incredible opportunity to build a brand alongside the Dillard family. During my time at Lone Star, I've met so many new faces, created incredible friendships, and cultivated new business to help create the fastest growing brand in disc golf. I'd like to thank the Dillard family for giving me the opportunity to be the face of Lone Star Disc and all of you for recognizing me as such. After much thought and consideration, I've decided to part ways with Lone Star. If you're looking to hire a self-motivated, dynamic, and forward-thinking professional with over 10 years of experience in marketing, business development, and social media management, feel free to message me directly at and then put his email.
Dude, Josh is goated. If you're listening to this right now and you work for a disc golf company, Jeremy Rusko, I'm talking to you. He's not listening. hire Josh Hofstra. He's actually very cool. You should hire him.
Well, so where did you read that post? Was that off his LinkedIn?
That was his Instagram.
Sound like his LinkedIn resume.
I mean, he might have put it on LinkedIn, too.
He's trying to get hired, man.
But so here's the weird thing, right? Because Chandler Kramer by himself, not that weird. But then you have it combined with Josh.
That means
they both left around the same time and both seemingly left with nowhere to go.
Yeah, quickly. That means there's trouble in paradise.
Something's going on.
Somebody pulled the panic alarm at Lone Star Disc. There's something going on.
Something
for sure.
Happened. Because because we also remember we had Nico signing that contract. We don't know what that means.
Dude, could you imagine?
That could be Nico LeCastro.
Are they dissolving the brand? Could you imagine?
They just extended AJ and Deanne Carey like 2 weeks ago.
That is true.
They signed, what's his face? Carter Ahrens. This offseason.
Oh, yeah, that is true. And, man, all their chips in on Carter Ahrens.
Didn't Connor O'Reilly just go there?
Yeah.
So
they're just, there's just crazy turnover right now.
They've made moves, but it's just a very interesting to have those two people, Chandler Kramer and then Josh Hofstra, leave, both seemingly with nowhere to go. Because it's one thing if Josh Hofstra is like, I just got this awesome opportunity I had, or Chandler Kramer is like alluding,
can't
wait to announce where to go. But both of them seem to be like, someone please pick me up.
Interesting. Where's the Crame Dog headed? Let's put in our predictions right now.
I think that the company is actually getting completely absorbed by Sacred Discs. And in order to take all of Lone Star's stock and sell it as Sacred Discs, they're just going to have to pickle it all in beef broth for a little bit.
Yeah. Mm. I would say so.
Let me see if Robert... So Robert Burridge still says sponsored by Lone Star. I don't know where I heard that.
The no wire.
Hunter hears so many things.
I thought that like there was a postman. Like I thought it was a positive thing.
During this whole time I've been thinking, well, Robert hasn't left yet. So
dang.
I definitely haven't seen anything like that.
I don't know where I heard it then. Well, I guess I'll put my TMZ hat on. Yep. Robert Burridge might be leaving Lone Star.
Yeah.
According to somewhere deep in my head, TMZ. I think he left already.
Okay.
But I don't know why. Wow. So I could be wrong.
I mean, it's abandoned ship. They were touring together.
But
so
you
like,
can't be blamed for anything that you said because you were wearing that.
That's true. TMZ hat does protect.
Well, no, I didn't claim it's true. I just said I might be.
If you ever say anything somewhat sketchy, you have to put the TMZ hat on and then you're protected.
I think the Crame Dog is headed to Pro Discus.
I kind of forgot.
I think he's going open back.
Is Pro Discus still doing stuff?
I haven't heard that.
I just saw they approved like 4 molds today.
Really?
Really?
I saw it on PDGA.
Bring it back.
Then that's what made me think of it. No, I could see him going to Prodigy.
Yeah.
I could see that.
I could see that.
I think he's going open back.
He reminds me of
Lance
Brown.
Open back.
Forehand. I don't think he wants to go open back. I think he wants to get picked up.
So you think he's going like retailer? Like, do you think he could be going like foundation or something?
That's true.
He could be going foundation. Yeah.
He could be going
Or I think either that or he could be going like the Thought Space, EV7.
Well, we're
route.
I don't know if we have enough cap room after the Eagle. Oh.
Can't be talking like that.
Oh, dang. Put the TMZ hat back on.
Yeah. Come on. It's not January.
I was going to say Egon.
Yeah.
McBurns.
Yeah, it's our
he's a new guy.
Shop dog.
It's like, did you see Drew Gibson launched a second channel called Hugh Frisbin?
Dude.
That's funny.
What? Yeah, I didn't even...
I didn't watch the video yet.
He said it's his alter ego.
Yeah.
Hugh Frisbin?
I think we signed...
Which is a really funny name.
I think we signed Hugh Frisbin.
I actually am down to sign
I think
Hugh
we
Frisbin.
Signed Hugh Frisbin to Foundation.
I didn't even click on it yet, but I saw
I didn't
Hugh
click
Frisbin
on it either.
And I started laughing. I was like, that's the funniest name ever. Hugh Frisbin?
Yeah, he started a whole second channel. Hugh Frisbin.
That's funny.
Oh, dang.
Shout so the Disc Golf Pro Tour announced a major update to the Disc Golf Network platform with the launch of DGN 2.0.
We've got it. Like, I mean, the amount of bits and jokes that can be made out of DGN 2.0 is endless. Any, like, what are they doing calling it 2.0?
Too fast, too furious.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's a little silly. Just say it's an upgrade.
Oh, yeah. I would have just said, like,
2.0?
They also, like, they announced, like, who's hosting and all that stuff. I would have just sent an email
who is it? Who's hosting it?
AWS. Insys Video Technology.
I don't know about them. They just wanted to flash AWS. That little Amazon smile on there.
But the bit, what this means for you as a DGN subscriber, assuming you are one. If not, you might get an affiliate link here in a second. So hold out.
Go ahead.
What was that?
Love that. Trap.
Anywho.
That's cute.
There's a new user interface, so a fresh look and new streamlined content. Live DVR, which is a big one.
This
you can
is like
pause
the one I care
and
about.
Rewind the live coverage finally.
That's now, sick. When I hear Katrina
so when something
on the hot
happens,
mic, I can rewind it.
Yeah, when something happens, you're like, did Terry just say that
the
tree was doing what to Ricky?
I was saying,
you just rewind.
The best thing that this is going to do is social media is going to be so much better, like live tweeting, because people will actually be able to get the clips and get them up like without waiting for the post produced. It's going to be great.
Really, and then sick. Instant transcoding, so no more waiting. The stream will be available to watch almost immediately.
That's good.
Right now, you'd have to wait 12 hours for the live broadcast, somewhere in there, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And they also made it easier for us PDGA members to simply, you pair your PDGA member account.
Us PDGA members?
I am a proud PDGA member as
a
tournament
director. I think
I'm
actually good till March.
You have to sign back up. Yeah. We're going to do an A-tier next year, remember? Hey, you were excited back
No,
in
I'll
day.
Just play it unsanctioned. I can play it as an odd member.
That's true. You just,
now
no, I don't think you can anymore.
Oh, because it's an A tier.
Yeah.
No, they didn't introduce D tiers yet.
No, but I think they just made it where you don't have to. Because A tiers, I think you'd be a certified official to play them. Almost positive. I think it's part of the tour standard.
I've never played an A tier.
Easier for PDGA members to just pair your PDGA member account for an automatic discount. And then also coming soon, they're going to have 60 FPS live streaming.
Huge.
Upgraded from 30, silky smooth. Connor, tell us how big that is.
Yeah, tell
us
how
that's huge. That improves the quality so much. Have you ever heard of 4K? 60 frames per second is just like it.
There's a
native
schedule page, so it's now fully interactive. I don't know if the previous one was only somewhat interactive.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
And more.
I'm excited for the new interface.
I'm excited. I think the biggest thing is being able to rewind.
Yeah.
That's huge.
I think what would be big maybe for 2.0 as well is when we do media day this year, don't just buy like 2 colored lights and make all the shots just guys standing in front of those 2 colored lights. Like maybe do a couple other things.
That's what they should call instead of 2.0, the next film should be called DGN Rewind.
Rewind.
There we go. Yeah. When they take it back.
Yeah.
Take it back.
Rewind.
Taking back to the shack, baby.
Come on.
That's right.
Love shack.
The Pro Tour also announced via Jomez their end-of-season awards. And they're not all in one article, so if you were trying to find it without watching the entire thing...
Yeah, why have they been posting them, like, daily on Instagram?
I don't know.
Like, most of the world is going to find out through Instagram.
I tried to find it all in one spot. I thought surely UltiWorld or the Disc Golf Pro Tour would have just an article. It's like, here's your end-of-season award winners. Here's the first and second card. Mm-mm. You just have to come to us. We'll tell you all in one brief thing.
We are the people.
So, Player of the Year on... I'm going to just read them all of the initial awards, and then we can react to them individually.
Yeah.
I think that's going to make life easier.
Okay.
So, MPO Player of the Year, Calvin Heimberg.
Oh, my gosh.
FPO Player of the Year, Kristen Tatar. No rookies way. Of the Year, you have Silva Saarinen, and I believe it is Luke Taylor is the MPO one. Ooh. And then the most improved players, you have Ali Smith.
Nice.
And
she won.
My man, Cole. Mr. Cole Radolin.
He got Cole.
So those are the big awards. We'll talk through the all-stars. So let's start first, Kristen Tatar. We can start there. Ulibarri on the show put it, I think, best, which was you could cut her season up into four different quarters, and she would have won Player of the Year with any of the four quarters.
That's wow. Sick.
And it's probably true.
You dog. That's
so,
sick.
I mean, she won all four majors. There is no way this was going to anyone else. There
Kristen
was another Tatar argument.
Is going to end up with a career. I see these TikToks sometimes with like Tiger Woods stats and it'll be like, it will to start to do the stat in a way that makes you think it's going to be like, oh, it's just a cool stat. And then it ends with being like, what the heck, Tiger Woods. And it like one of them's like, from like this period to this period, over a 10-year period, Tiger Woods was a total of like something like 200 under par. It's maybe not that, but 200 under par. This person in second place was a combined 199, and then it was over par.
Yeah,
like Kristen Tatar is going to have those stats in the future where you're going to hear the first part and be like, oh, and then you're going to hear the second part and be like, huh? Like, because she's so dominant that her stats are going to make you scratch your head.
Do you think she's going to do it again this year?
Yeah. There's no reason to believe.
Well, yeah, it's like until we see.
Paige Pierce is returning.
That's what I was going to ask. Do you think who's most likely to end Kristen's domination? Nope. Is it someone that
Haley
exists
King.
Now?
Nobody that
or
exists.
A new person on the
Haley
team?
King.
The most likely that exists now is probably like a Haley King.
Probably, yeah. But she's not going to.
But you
to.
Think it's more going to be like somewhat like a new person on the team? Yeah. Because Kristen kind of like, I might be wrong in saying this, but I feel like she like, I didn't really hear anything about her. And then all of a sudden she popped on and won everything.
Because she started touring.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think.
She won U.S. Women's 2019, I believe it was.
Wow. Okay. I don't expect her, like, I'm not going to be surprised, but I'm not going to expect her to repeat what she did this year. But she is going to win 5+ tournaments.
Yeah.
Indefinitely at this level until other people start
well,
to
play. Well,
that's
the thing
like,
about
that's
Kristen.
That's what's going to happen.
Is she does, it's similar to Paul and his dominance. She doesn't do any one singular thing that makes you be like, no one can do that.
That makes sense.
She just doesn't really mess up.
Yeah.
She just does everything well. Because I was like, Paul never, he didn't do anything. His putting was pretty jaw-dropping.
Yeah.
But at the time, you had Ricky also jaw-dropping putts.
He didn't have like a bomb forehand, a bomb backhand. Yeah. He just did it all
He was
consistently.
Just one of the best at everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Kristen is.
Very good point,
Hunter. She isn't like, oh, well, if someone can top her backhand, then they're going to beat her. It's like, no, she has a very solid forehand. She has a very solid backhand. She keeps it in the fairway. She stays within her game, and
she
makes clutch putts.
She is the most accurate player on tour.
Yeah. And which I think that is kind of what...
I think that's where Paul was, too. It's accuracy. It's one you don't really pick up on, but it's like they just hit lines.
Yeah.
And disc golf comes down to hitting lines.
So, yeah, no surprise there. Now, MPO, no real surprise here. Calvin Heimberg taking down the Ken Klima Player of the Year. Oh, side note, the Kristen Tatar Player of the Year was the Elaine King Player of the Year.
That
so a lot of people thought that was hilarious.
Funniest thing ever.
Which Elaine King earned her right to have the name on the award. It was just funny because of Elaine Gate. 2 years ago now.
I think we named the award after Kristen. I think she'd be the Kristen Tatar Player of the Year.
And then the Ken Klimo MPO Player of the Year was Calvin Heimberg. And we discussed this so many times back and forth. It basically just, it varies how you view Player of the Year as to whether it went to Calvin or to Isaac.
I'm not mad at it.
No. I don't think, I don't think they made the wrong decision.
No. I think they made the right decision for their sake, for sure.
Yeah.
And there's no problem picking Calvin for Player of the Year.
Because the other thing is, if you're the Pro Tour, if you don't pick Calvin, then you're almost devaluing your own tour points.
True.
Good point.
To a certain extent.
Good point.
Because then
you're
telling people, well, our tour doesn't really matter as much as the majors, which we don't have anything to do with. Because that'll be the interesting thing is there's a chance.
It's a good side job.
Well, there's a chance that Isaac Robinson gets the PDGA Player of the Year. I'd have to look points wise.
Oh, I have no idea.
Well, he got
people forget.
He got the important player of the year.
Well, yeah, he got the grippies.
Yeah,
that's true.
Don't think he won a Jomies, but but did win a Grippy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, the more important. Yeah. But it will be interesting if Isaac Robinson ends up PGA Player of the Year. Because, like, you kind of forget that award exists because...
They look really cool, though. I remember when we went to the Gateway Factory and saw Nico's, like, Player of the Years, I was like, that was pretty sick.
Yeah.
I think I want one. PGA, can you send me one?
Yeah.
I'm sure they will.
Thank I'm sure you can find the trophy pretty easily.
I don't know. They were actually pretty... They were pretty sick. They kind of looked like taller, like thinner Grippies.
Yeah, yeah, actually. They kind of... I think they might have been the Grippies, now that we think about it.
Oh. We hand out PGA Player
We hand out PGA Player of the Year awards every year. Now, Rookie of the Year, we had Silva Saarinen, Finnish player. She amassed a total of 365 points throughout the season. 363.5 points throughout the season. Ended in the 39th ranked position, which was the first in rookies. Although 77 unique FPO players received at least 10 fan votes for this award, Silva dominated the fan votes with over 3.5 times the amount of second place. She's currently the 13th ranked player in the FPO UDisc World Rankings. And her journey began with her first 13th in FPO World US UDisc Rankings. But in the points, she's 39th.
Okay.
Her journey began with her first Pro Tour event, the 2023 Music City Open, where she placed top 30 and then claimed a top 10 finish at her first major at Worlds.
Nice.
Now, as far as MPO, we had Luke Taylor, who he ended himself 55th ranked position and is the 44th ranked player in the MPO UDisc World Rankings. He also started with Music City Open. He scored a top 20 finish there, 16th.
I think a name like Luke Taylor is just a little too generic.
It's like the most American name.
Now that he's won Rookie of the Year, I'm going to zero in on it. I know that name now. Because like he finished 45th in the rankings. Like I know most of the guys in like the top 70, 80. So...
Very marketable name, though. I would like to see Luke Taylor at the top.
To see some disc golf merch, Luke Taylor. Like, it sounds like designer.
Oh, yeah. It does kind of. Luke Taylor. Like, why? It sounds like Peter Millar.
What is the, what's the brand that it sounds like?
Like, it sounds like
Travis
a golf.
Travis Matthew?
Brand. Yeah, it sounds like a golf, like golf brands.
Okay.
Yeah. Peter Millar, Travis.
Because, like, I'm there with you. I'm here.
Zooming Luke ahead, Taylor. The 2023 MPO.
I think of Ann Taylor.
Well, that's his mom.
Zooming ahead, the 2023 MVP Open is where he attained his best placement at this event with an 11th place.
Let's go, Luke.
So, good for him. And then the most improved player, I mean, Cole Radalyn. I just enjoyed my last Chick-fil-A of the year. Thanks to Cole. Appreciate it.
Shout out, Cole, man. I like Cole Radalyn.
Yeah. He has a bright future ahead of him.
Maybe.
And also, Allie Smith, very, you know, similar. She has a bright future ahead of her. Both of them played very well at multiple different events. I believe Allie Smith claimed a silver event at the Kansas City Wide Open, if I remember correctly. And then obviously Cole Radalyn won.
I'd like to collab with Cole Radalyn. When Worlds comes into town, he needs to be high on our list.
Hey, Cole, you want to play imposter?
Hey, Cole. I think Cole is a listener.
Yeah.
Cole, you want to play imposter?
You want to play imposter disc golf? We won't pick you too.
We'll yell at you a lot. Yeah. It's really fun.
It'll be a good time. Now, the All-Stars, we already knew the first card All-Stars, but there was voting to decide the second and third card All-Stars. We'll start with FPO. Your first card All-Stars were Kristen Tatar, Missy Gannon, Owen Scoggins, and Holland Handley. Then the second card that was announced is Ella Hansen, Kat Murch, Haley King, and Katrina Allen.
Kat did make it in.
And then, which Kat?
Sure. Allen.
And then the third card was Allie Smith, Macy Valadia, Sarah Hokum, and Jessica
Could
Weiss.
Could you imagine the just softball headline it would be if those two got in a fight? Cat fight.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, just too easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. That was easy. That was easy to listen to.
That's a journalist's dream.
Wow.
Big J journalism.
Sometimes the headlines write themselves. They haven't been in a fight. I'm sure it's fine.
Now, on MPO side, first card All-Star is Calvin Heimberg, Isaac Robinson, Gannon Burr, and Ricky Wysocki.
That's
and
a
then
heck of a good card. Yeah.
The second and third votes landed Eagle McMahon, Matty O, Simon Lazat, and Kyle Klein for the second card. Card.
I'm fine with
and
that.
And then the third card is Anthony Barella, Cole Radalyn, James Proctor, and Ezra Robinson.
Good for Ezra Robinson, man. I'm so happy for him. He was so underrated. He must have just beat out Alden. I bet you that was close in the
final. I wonder, is Ezra and Isaac the first brothers to both be All-Stars? Same season.
Considering we have about, what, 4 years of All-Star president? It has to be.
So think about
the All-Star
Bros. Is there any other brothers that
what's
are
their
like,
nickname? What's their brother nickname starting now? The All-Star Bros?
The Swiss All-Star. Family Robinson.
The
that's, I think that's their Instagram name back in the day.
It is. They actually have a website.
As I like the All-Star Bros.
As the king.
The All-Star Bros?
No. As the king.
I know, but like we can do better than that.
Yes, sir.
The Monstars.
My apologies.
The just like mix up words like you usually do.
No, all I got is All-Star Bros.
The Robin Spin Bros.
All right.
How about Super Mario Bros?
There we go. As the King said over the weekend, King James, that is, records can be broken, but you can't ever break being the first to do something.
I'm watching Hunter turn into a LeBron fan.
I'm not a LeBron
Ironically.
Fan. I'm not a LeBron fan.
I know it's ironic, but it's really funny.
But hey, no, it is. That's a good point. He's the first to win the in-season tournament, and the Robinson brothers are the first brothers to be All-Stars.
Never be broken.
You can't break someone that's the first to do it.
What, do you think there's going to be triplets in the All-Star game? Stupid.
Could be. Who knows? They got to start playing disc golf first.
Isn't there a third brother?
Yeah, I think there's like four or five
brothers. There's a ton of them, man. Yeah. There's Robinsons. They're everywhere.
Notable name missing, Sir Paul Macbeth. I was very surprised when they announced out, because the second and third card was fan voted.
Probably for the best, but
Hunter, I think it's really funny that every time you introduce a name, you call them sir.
He does. You do
that.
That
is really funny.
Might be the next
T-shirt.
It's just chilling.
Every
there,
single name you say sir in front of it.
Sir Katrina Allen? I don't think I said that.
No, you do. You do do the sir thing a lot now.
I know, it's because every single time I want to say, they got knighted, did they?
Well, dang. I guess I'll never do that again.
I'm sorry.
I'll just
stop
having
funny.
Fun.
I wasn't saying it because it bothers me. I was saying it because I think it's funny.
I didn't even notice it until Connor just mentioned
really?
It.
Really?
No.
Well, dang.
Well, because you only noticed it because you were thinking about doing a bit.
You're right.
Yeah.
I like it, just
I
to
think
be clear.
We should call Connor Poophead.
Sir Poophead.
Yes, sir.
Anyways, Paul was missing. I just thought that was fascinating.
Where's Paul? I'm going to say...
Paul's missing.
I bet that Paul got voted in and exempted himself because he just had a kid.
You think so? Well, but it's the week before the Pro Tour starts. I'm
mad
he's playing that next week.
Every week matters, dude. You know that. You know as well as anybody. That
could
be his
first
steps, dude.
They're going on tour.
The whole gang is?
I'm almost positive they announced that. Yeah, I think the whole gang's going on tour.
Like, what are they RVing?
I don't know. I'd imagine.
Million Dollar Man. Does he have a G55?
Frick's that.
I've been watching a lot of guys selling private jets. There's this guy who sells private jets. You ever see him pop up on your social? It's this older guy who sells private jets, and he have his guy sit down in a seat, and he's like, what's your budget? And they'll be like, 30 mil. They're always like daddy's money type guys. And then he'll be like, okay, this is what you can get. And he has this huge video board, and he's like, how far is your furthest nonstop flight? We need to get to Dubai. Okay, these are all the jets that can make it to Dubai. And he just like narrows it down. He can like show the whole cabin. It's crazy.
I've not seen that.
And that's what cool. Paul probably did.
Yeah.
And that's why I know about the G55.
G55.
Or G550? I don't know.
Oh, he doesn't know.
Embarrassing.
Before we get into the fan favorite segment of Trevor's Trivia, I've got to let you know about this month's subscription box. If you haven't heard about our subscription box, basically each and every month you get three premium discs plus a swag item to your door for only $45. You can head over to foundationdiscgolf.com or foundationdisc.com. Scroll down a little bit. You'll see it right there. And I'm just going to let some of the reviews tell you about this box instead of just me. And then I'll give you a little hint towards what the Christmas box is going to be. But this one comes from Matt McGraw. He said, the subscription box is truly elevated my disc golf experience. Each month, I eagerly anticipate the arrival of a carefully curated selection of high-quality discs, exclusive merchandise, and helpful accessories. The attention to detail and variety in each box keeps the excitement alive and making it a fantastic investment for any disc golf enthusiast. The personalized touch and commitment to delivering top-notch products makes the subscription box a must-have for players looking to enhance their game and collection. Couldn't
Connor,
be happier with the
this
subscription.
Really well.
That's an amazingly written review.
Yeah.
What the heck?
All five-star reviews?
We have 35 five-star reviews.
And no other ones.
There's like one or two that are like four-star.
All five.
And this one came from Steven Garhart, also a five-star review. He said, I've been a box subscription purchaser since October of 2022, 13 of them at this point. Each one is different and comes with more than your money's worth. This past October box was hand down my favorite, Halloween inspired, with four custom stamped discs and a custom sticker.
That was a great box.
Other boxes have been a Trash Panda box, a Brody box, which included a signed Ultra Star, Overstable Disc Month, Mid-Ranges Putters, Trevor box, and more. Billing usually happens between the 12th and 14th of the month, and the box is typically to my house by the 18th or 20th of each month. So if you want to be like Steven
the box
and Matt,
this month is crazy.
You can head over there. This month we have two Christmas themed discs. I'll give you that. And we have one special Santa surprise snuck in between them.
I will just
We're
tell
very
you
excited
about
it.
I will tell you without telling you
special
anything.
Special
Santa
surprise
disc.
Sounds like a drink.
When they came in, it had me absolutely flustered. I wanted like half of them.
True
I'm
facts.
Not even kidding. Like I was hype. It's sick. There is some pretty insane
discs.
Santa
so again, surprise. You can head over to foundationdiscs.com, scroll down a little bit. It's $45 each and every month. You get three premium discs plus a swag item. And if you want to treat yourself or your friend for this Christmas season. You can actually subscribe for 12 months in advance, save a little bit of money,
and it's a heck of a Christmas gift
for yourself or for your buddy. So with that all being said, it's time to hop into the fan favorite segment. Trevor,
I did just have one quick idea. How funny would it be if, you know, all these pros build out their vans, right, to tour? Like, that's very popular. What if, have you ever seen, you can go to like a mall and take a picture and they build out like a set that looks like a private jet so you can take a picture?
Yeah, seen that.
What if somebody built out their minivan or their touring van to look like that? So every time they were touring, they were taking pictures and you thought they were traveling in a private jet.
That's very
But
funny.
They were just
That'd
in a van.
Funny.
It's hilarious.
That's hilarious.
Okay. I have a fun game today, I think.
Ooh.
Heard that one before. I've got the Google Trends website pulled up here.
Nice.
Okay. On Google Trends, you can do a compare where you can compare two keywords and see their interest over time. The way we're going to do this is we're going to do matchups. We'll do best of seven. You guys are each going to get to pick a term that is related to disc golf in some way. Any way that, like, we would all agree, yes, that term is related to disc golf as loosely as it needs to be. But you're trying to pick a word that has had the most interest over the last day.
Okay. Over the last day. Okay.
And whoever is the most, it's just you would be up 1-0 if you have the term that has more. All right. So you are each going to pick one.
I'm ready.
Okay, Connor, what do you have?
Throw.
Eagle.
Throw. Ooh, an eagle. It's quite good. Okay. Let's see.
Played yesterday. Lost the Cowboys.
Got throw in there.
Oh, that's
going to be good. Eagle.
I just don't know if it should have an S.
Eagle is the winner.
Nice.
Eagle is the winner of that one. That is.
I was just thinking people searching for that.
I wonder if you put in eagles.
Yeah, surely, like, that'd be higher, but I didn't know if that.
Go
I didn't
higher?
Know if adding the S.
Yeah, eagles destroys it, but that technically.
I didn't know if that'd be disc golf related.
I respect your integrity.
That really disc golf related?
Well, you can make eagles out on the course.
That's true. I could have done it. I should have done it.
All right, 1-0, Hunter.
It's okay, still one.
Okay.
How many are we doing?
Best of seven.
Okay.
It's NBA finals.
So last day.
Yeah, over the last day.
Penalty.
Wow, this guy is—he's leaning into the football thing.
I mean, that call. Surely people were searching about that.
They probably talk more flag, maybe.
Yeah, but I mean, flag. Ah, flag would have related to disc golf.
You could use that if you wanted to. I don't know.
Right? Sports.
Is disc golf a sport? Something about.
That's probably gonna win. Connor with the huge play. Okay, sports. Why isn't it letting me search it? Is it, what is happening?
It's just too low of a search volume.
I think I broke it. Oh, here we go. Sports is the winner, significantly.
Thank goodness. Okay.
Okay, 1-1. Very well done. Obviously, no reusing terms.
Con?
I'll go with.
He hit him with sports. It's about to start getting. The gloves are off now.
Well, that's what. Well, I
sports is just. I mean,
hey, if you can relate it, you can relate it. I'm not putting rules on this.
Really?
As long as you can tie the disc golf, and it has to be like easy to tie the disc golf.
Okay.
Like not like shirt. Like I like let's keep it related to the sport of disc golf.
I'll go with athlete.
Okay.
I don't think that's a high one.
Golf.
But
golf versus athlete. Interesting. This will actually be interesting.
I feel like surely not that many people search an athlete.
I know. That's
golf
what I don't
is the winner.
Either. Yeah, that makes sense.
Golf is the winner. 2-1 Hunt.
I mean, I just.
What?
I don't know.
Number one golfer.
That's. I think we got to do one word.
Ah, frick.
Yeah. Got to stick it to one word.
Best.
Best?
What?
The best disc golfer.
Let's keep it more in tune with the sport here. That's I'm gonna have to.
Best shot, best throw, best
that's
ball.
That's an adjective.
Use
no
best
adjective.
A lot.
Nouns only. Where are you? Nouns and verbs only.
John Rahm. He's friends with Brody. I think he's played disc golf once.
You could use Brody.
No, Brody hasn't been searched much recently, I don't think.
If it's a name, I'll give you two just so you can search Brody Smith.
That's what I could do, is try to find a disc golfer who has like a really famous name.
Tiger.
There's no disc golfer.
She's on Gateway's team, you jerk.
Oh!
That's fine.
That's
Paul.
True. Tiger versus Paul. Tiger Borth, is that your name? That's her name, I think. Tiger versus Paul. Let's see who comes out on top here. It is Paul.
Yes. All
right. My next 3-1.
One. This could be to close it out.
My next one I would like to take is Taylor. Taylor Brooks. He's a local pro.
Oh, man. Oh, that's dirty, gosh, dude.
Okay, fine. I would like to take Swift.
How you relate that disc golf?
Oh, because you know, like, Noah has that Swift in his throw?
That's nope. A swoop. Nope, that's a swoop.
Well, I call it a Swift. Or like there's like a Swift of headwind.
You nope. could say Era because the disc.
Oh, true.
Could do that.
Ooh. Taylor versus Era would be fascinating.
There's no way Era is beating Taylor.
It could because it's related to
but
other
it's
things.
Era's tour with the S.
Well, but the same thing with the other Eagle.
I only said Eagle. I didn't say Eagles.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Oh, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. Might be your only chance because Taylor is probably going
to
be nuts.
Oh, I was just about to say something. I forgot what I was going to say.
You could just go. Is there a Travis disc golfer? You could just put it to the test.
I'm going to go with Adidas.
Okay.
All right.
That'll be interesting.
That's not going to. Because Taylor is like the ultimate trump card here.
Might be.
I don't know.
Taylor you wins.
It
has
it
to be.
It was decently close, yeah. though. It was okay. decently close. All right. Hunter wins 4-1.
I mean, once he said sports and the gloves were off, I was just like, oh, we can go really vague.
Well, I mean, I was thinking whenever you said, I'm not even gonna.
He's not even gonna.
The lawsuit against McCease LLC has been dismissed by a Florida judge. So the lawsuit against Paul and Beth and Dylan Cease's holding company that purchased the Grand Canyon Disc Golf Course in Florida has been dismissed without prejudice by Florida Judge Donald Scaglione.
There you go.
Bringing the current legal action to an end. McCease LLC was a defendant in a lawsuit brought by Trevor Tonges, I don't know, the owner of Local Route Disc Golf, who alleged damages against the corporation after he was hit by a disc during the tournament at Grand Canyon Course, which has been long host to the Throw Down the Mountain event. The judge dismissed it after Trevor failed to comply with court orders to provide responses to the defense during discovery. The judge order was filed on December 1st. Given that it was dismissed without prejudice, he could refile the lawsuit in the future.
It's like the dumbest court case ever, because it was basically, to my knowledge, it was this guy had no case. He was hoping just to get a settlement out of rich baseball player and rich disc golfer because he would think, why would they even bother with this? But then they did decide to bother with it, which good for them, because they were like, we're not going to let a precedent in court get set that's going to potentially damage other disc golf tournaments. And they pursued and they asked for discovery, and then he chickened out, like, because he knew he had no case.
And in the process, he destroyed his disc golf store, because I've apparently...
Yeah, suing Paul McBeth is probably not great.
Not the greatest
stance.
Way to have
it's
a
like suing
disc golf
your star player if
Florida.
You're a manufacturer. That probably doesn't work out usually.
Yeah, especially
either.
When like Paul just invested a bunch. Paul invested a bunch into the local scene in Florida where this disc golf store is right down the street from.
Yeah, true.
And he tried to sue
him. Apparently nobody likes this guy. Nobody likes
Shocker.
Trevor. Everybody hates Trevor.
Can make a Trevor's, t-shirt? I've never met a Trevor I liked.
Yeah,
you know,
all my homies hate Trevor.
Yeah, we should make a shirt that says that.
Your shirt says that.
Someone commented on a recent
straight out of Trevor.
Someone commented on a
like
out of Trevor.
Just
someone commented on a recent video and said that our animosity towards each other is gone, and the videos have turned from being fun competitions to watch to just being like really chummy. It was more
our
or less
animosity. The, that's because the monthly matches.
Yeah, well, I was saying once the monthly matches kick back up, then we'll be.
I would say that's probably.
But even in like monthly matches, you guys aren't like actively against each other because like a competition.
Splish splash.
You guys aren't like mean to each other when you're competing against each other. You know,
Hunter and I definitely get the most. We are the
monthly
most,
matches are like quiet because you guys are like in the zone.
Well, we're the most susceptible to getting mad at each other during monthly match because we're in a very competitive state of mind. We have both been able to buy into the goofy videos enough to where we understand that most people are probably just gonna not want us to go quiet and get mad at each other. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have fun with those. But I mean, they still get competitive. I don't know. I don't like having animosity in videos.
I do.
It ends up being
dumb poo poo head. What'd you just say?
Hunter's the wedge.
I heard a completely different word.
Well, let me put it this way. I like.
I only heard the end of it. I was like, Connor, this is a.
I like
you
know, doing that a lot a with me lately. Point.
Where I say something, well, you're like, "What'd you
one,
say?"
The first one, to be fair, it sounded like you straight up just swore.
I like animosity to a certain point. Like whenever we threw each other's putters in the water, like that was hilarious. But that one, we were never really that heated at each other.
We got a little, but it was
awkward to be there.
Yeah, we were definitely upset at each other. But
I was not mad at you at any, like, actually mad at you.
You went straight to Kroger afterwards, Trevor.
No, you were a little frustrated.
We both went quiet for like three holes, but by the next day it was hilarious.
No, I was not mad. I was not mad. Why would I care if you threw my putter in the water?
Because you said you didn't have any backups.
If I was,
you're like,
if,
we have both.
If I acted frustrated,
it was the situation leading up to it that was frustrating, not the actual putter in the water.
Well, I don't even remember.
He just caught my putter and chucked it in the water. There was no situation.
But it was because
there was some, like,
someone said
throw.
Something.
You
and said
like,
said
ha
something,
ha.
And
I mean, I have the whole clip. I don't think so.
Anyways.
If I was frustrated, it's because I was losing, like, significantly.
You won
that
event.
Time, but
that
I
and, the, and the boonie hat was squeezing your head a little too tight, maybe. Cutting off
one
oxygen.
One and one with the boonie hat. Had to get rid of it after I lost.
The Dang. Grand Canyon course was also the host of the Florida Open, kickoff the 2024 Pro Tour. But it was just announced this past week that the tournament will now be dubbed the Chess.com Invitational, presented by Discraft, and will be sponsored by Chess.com, which is the internet's top chess site. Is believed to be worth more than nine figures.
Can we Google that, by the way?
One of the largest companies to sponsor a disc
golf
tournament.
I believe that their site is huge, but nine, well, yeah. But they said more than nine figures. Because, like, if you told me it was worth $100 million, I'd be like, yeah, it makes sense. But what are you trying
to... Well, more than nine figures could be, like, $10.1
million. What? Nine figures is $100 million.
You're right.
Yeah.
It says the valuation of the website is believed to be $339 million.
Yeah, okay. They said more than nine figures. Like, so you're just trying to say more than $100 million, or are you trying to claim
a billion? There's
going to
be a lot
chess.
Of people confused whenever they watch the chess.com Invitational.
That's what I've... That's what's, it's
good.
It's really exciting.
Might be able to filter them in.
It's very cool for disc golf, because, like, Trevor and I have been chess.com users.
Love chess.
I think I still pay for their premium membership because
I
forgot to cancel it. I don't play chess anymore.
Get you.
Yeah, I don't play chess anymore, but... If you're playing chess, that's so they have more than 100 million users, and 10 million games are played daily. I mean, 100 million users, like, that's a wild number.
That is crazy.
So this Huddle Up site is claiming it's a $500 million company.
Wow.
But regardless, it's a very big sponsor. But it's just weird because it's like the name of the company is just another like hobby sport type activity.
Yeah.
So it's like chess.com. Like, it would be like if it was the pickleball invitational.
Yeah.
But it's a disc golf event.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only thing weird about it.
Yeah.
It's very cool for the sport. It's a big outside sponsor.
You know, technically chess is a sport.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't claim it wasn't.
At least chess is like,
I was just saying.
Like more of a board game. Whereas it would be weirder if it were like a sport that gets compared to disc golf.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm just at the point where, like,
as a cool sponsor,
I'm just proud.
And they
of
did a whole
disc golf, honestly, for like getting a good sponsor.
They did a whole integration on their
their
Instagram,
it was good.
Where like Checkers is attacking.
I know, it was kind of beautiful.
Yeah, so very
I didn't
fun.
See that coming.
No,
at
which
all.
Is funny. Like 2 months ago now, Chess.com randomly commented on one of our videos. And at the time, we were like, what
the heck?
Yeah, that
was very
heck?
Confusing.
Like, I sent it. I don't know if you sent a screenshot to me or I sent a screenshot
to
you.
I sent it to you.
Regardless, we were just like, that's so random. They watched the
that's
video
good.
To interact
that means
with
we're
it.
In the SEO, because that means that
they were probably,
they
just,
probably
to, like,
just Googled disc golf and they found one of our videos.
They were probably just trying to get their name and the disc golf scene a little bit more so that when the announcement happened, it wasn't.
It's familiar. People are talking about them.
Fun stuff. All right.
Big companies make big decisions.
Not Connor. Trevor won last week's In the Bag.
Okay.
This week is the non-plastic materials make discs out of.
Let's go. They loved my Nerf foam and whatever, bamboo. And
I think it was more that Connor and I just had some questionable ones. Connor's were more.
Okay. Just go ahead and take away from my victory.
Yeah, I'm going to. Let me.
There's the animosity.
Yeah, let me. Connor had one that just people I don't think knew what it was.
Kevlar?
Yep.
Kevlar is sick.
No, adamantium? Yeah.
I had vibranium on there.
Yeah.
Adamantium is
anyways,
little
this week's
known.
Is non-disc golf athletes that could dominate disc
are
golf.
Are we going in their prime or not?
Yes.
Okay, so this is the athlete
choose.
In their prime. Yeah, I guess you can choose the version when you say it. You can say,
like, just assume
I want
they're
Jack
in their
Nicklaus
prime.
Right as he is,
yeah,
75.
Assume, I think just assume the player's in their prime.
Okay.
Because why would you not want a player in their
I'm going to...
What's the order, Trevor?
You can make?
I'm going to go... First,
okay.
Mine are really good this week.
Hunter's gonna go second. Connor's gonna go third.
Okay,
I'm gonna go first.
I know a lot
I'm
about
take Patrick Mahomes.
That's a good one. He was on my list.
And he's the best thrower of an object on the planet right now.
Now, everybody obviously knows like what sport he plays and everything, but like
could that you is the quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I am.
Quarterback come on. In the league. This is the one that Taylor Swift is married to.
Nope.
Yep.
I'm going to take Babe Ruth on steroids.
Babe Ruth on steroids? Was he on steroids?
Surely. Wasn't that why none of his things ever counted?
Choose a person.
You're thinking of Barry Bonds.
Barry Bonds I'm taking
on
steroids.
You may take Barry Bonds, and that's a good answer.
That's what I wanted.
Babe Ruth
is not who I wanted. Babe Ruth just made a candy bar.
He played in the 30s. Actually, before the 30s. Played in the
10s. No, Barry Bonds is who I was thinking of.
Yeah, on steroids. I like
clarify on steroids, because it's not PDJ illegal.
You're right.
So he can still play in all the big events.
Good pick, Hunt.
And I mean, with how fast he can swing that bat, that core strength, surely.
That's a good pick.
The only thing Babe Ruth was high on was tuberculosis vaccines.
Yeah, I did not mean Babe Ruth. I meant Barry Bonds. Good catch.
My first one is going to be Giuseppe Lanzoni.
This is going to be a throwaway week for Connor, but we're going to get to hear all these sports.
What do you mean,
play?
Guys? Because nobody's Are you kidding me? Wow, this is embarrassing for you.
You guys not know ball.
He's the 2010 U.S. Rowing Male Athlete of the Year.
That's a good sport.
2010?
That's a good sport.
Yeah, because rowing uses your entire body. Also, guess what type of body type is most popular in rowing? Tall, lengthy, strong guys.
Yeah,
so
good point.
It translates over to disc golf perfectly because he's tall and skinny.
You get a second one.
My second one is... obviously, the big unit himself, Randy Johnson.
I had him on my list.
Oh, frick, really?
Yeah, it's a great pick.
Same reason. This one's a little bit more generic. He has like the most dominant, one of the most dominant fastballs of all time. Yeah. I knew that before I Googled it, obviously.
He killed a bird once with his fastball.
Wow, yeah.
It flew in front of him during warm-ups, and it just exploded.
That's awesome.
I'll show you the video after.
I like it even more now. Also, he's 6'10 and 225 pounds.
Do you know what he does
great
now?
Great disc golf size.
Do you know what he does now for just like for fun?
Plays disc golf?
No, he is a NFL photographer. He's a sideline photographer for the NFL.
Wow, that's crazy.
There's a number of athletes that are doing that
these days.
Pretty
cool. He's a photographer. Does it too. But yeah, I'm still sticking with he's tall and skinny.
It was on my list.
And then he also throws really fast.
He might lefty.
Be
he's a lefty.
Ooh. That does hurt.
Never
lefty.
Been a
you know,
good lefty.
Disc golf, I think, is the only sport. I was saying this the other day when my son picked up a spoon left-handed.
Yeah,
disc golf, I think,
I'm already well down that track.
I think it's the only sport where if you're a lefty, it's a disadvantage.
Okay.
Like most other sports, they like consider it to have some type of it's at least broke even.
Yeah.
Like most other sports.
Think about this, though.
Like basketball, it's harder to guard a lefty.
Baseball, you have to use both hands a lot because obviously you're catching with your offhand.
But it's harder to pitch to a lefty, and it's harder to hit when a lefty's pitching.
But also, if he's lefty, that means that I know that he's a pitcher, but he still bats. Like he has the ability to bat, and he bats lefty,
righty.
Which means his hips.
Backhand. Righty backhand.
Exactly. Yeah. His hips are already ready for
a backhand. I actually swing left-handed with the bats. So that's why I throw so far.
Yeah, that makes sense. You throw so far.
My next pick is similar, just solely body type. And this man's an athlete.
Okay.
I once heard that at the peak of his athletic prime, he practiced every day for 5 years straight.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It's going to be Phelps.
Michael Phelps.
I thought about this.
I was listening to an audiobook, okay, and what I discovered was, so Michael Phelps... and a 5'9" distance runner. I forget the guy's name, but he's 5'9". Michael Phelps is like 6'7" or something.
He's tall.
He's tall.
Yeah, he's tall.
They wore the same inseam pants because the distance runner was genetically like he has had long legs for his 5'9" height, and Michael Phelps has really short legs but a really big torso and crazy long arms.
His torso and wingspan.
So you
is
give
nuts.
Him that wingspan? I mean, he's. I
like
how
that
could
pick.
He not throw a disc?
I thought
arm?
About it. I like that pick.
Yeah,
I like okay, I got two. I'm gonna take. I'm sure Hunter had this one at some point. I'm going to take Roger Federer.
Yeah, I did.
My GOAT tennis player. I think the tennis backhand is probably like one of the closest things you have to a backhand disc golf throw. And then I'm going to go ahead and... this is a tough one because like there's part of me that wants to take Tiger Woods just because of his golfing mind. Man.
We already have the Tiger Woods of disc golf, though. Would he really do much better than Paul McBeth?
I'm going to take Tiger Woods. He figured out that game of golf. I think if you gave him his prime, he could figure out our game of golf.
He was on my list. Mainly
until
also,
he crashes his car. Then he could be like the next Josh Anton.
Mainly also, though, the core strength.
Yeah, I think Tiger Rotational. Woods. I think Tiger Woods is an athlete, and also his mind, like he was able to overcome golf for a while there.
So. I'll take Rafael Nadal.
Oh, yeah.
Nadal.
Tennis.
Yeah. My favorite water polo.
You got two more, Con. Let's
All right. My last two are a little bit more conventional. Justin Falk.
Justin Falk. Why do I know that name?
Oh, he's a two-time cornhole world champion.
Nope, don't know that name. Wait, Justin Falk. That's so funny. I played hockey with the Justin Falk. Like, literally, his name was Justin Falk.
This guy's a cornholer. Whole life dedicated to cornhole.
I like that pick. Probably a nasty putter.
Exactly. Oh,
Paul McBeth
gosh.
Is very good at cornhole.
And now, I don't know if this guy.
I don't know if it goes the other way. No,
it does. It does. Okay. It does. Yeah. So, I got an inside guy who's friends with Justin Falk says that he is a medium and was able to tell in his future that he'd be good at disc golf.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Your second pick? Who's your final pick?
Obviously, Scooter Boy. Joseph Kawapuki.
I don't know how to spell any of these names.
Okay, I got you. Joseph. and then
Kawapuki.
I spelled it. Let me read you how I spelled it, and you tell me if it's right. Kawapuki.
Close. Kao.
No, not close.
Puiki.
Puiki.
Kawapuki. Otherwise known as Scooter Boy. Everybody knows him. He is the one of the
I thought
top...
you were just saying Scooter Boy about yourself.
Yeah, I don't even know.
No, I don't call myself Scooter Boy anymore. he is mainly known for his performance in the world beloved sport of dog surfing. Which is a sport.
Is
where...
he a dog?
No, he's not a dog. I didn't choose a dog because they don't have thumbs. So I didn't think that they'd be very good at it. Yeah. But I thought about who has the most knowledge on earth of frisbees? Dogs, right? So in this sport, you have to have a lot of trust with your dogs as you are surfing on a surfboard with them because they are also on the surfboard with you. I don't know much about the sport other than they surf with dogs on their surfboards. And so, I mean, how do you think he trains the dog? You think he just surfs? No, he's got to throw frisbees too. I bet he's a mean frisbee handler.
Probably not. You could have just chosen one of the, like, frisbee dog people.
Listen, I took a stance in this game, and
fair.
It was, I'm going to make jokes.
I'm going, my final choice is going to be Novak Djokovic.
The Joker.
Oh.
Going heavy on the tennis. He doubled up on tennis.
I did. I think it's the sport that translates the best, and you took Federer.
The Joker.
And he's got Novak. That means he doesn't suck.
My last pick.
That joke has layers.
My last pick, I'm going to go ahead and take arguably the greatest athlete of all time, Bo Jackson. Because Bo knows. You ever seen the commercial? Bo knows hockey. Bo knows this. Bo knows disc golf. I was going to take Shohei Ohtani because he did just sign for $700 million. But I decided not to.
I saw a tweet where it said, me at my, after seeing that $700 million deal, and it was just like a kid like Luca's age in the front yard holding a baseball. It was like his dad.
That baseball money is good, man.
That's just crazy. $700 million.
I started out this Almost game by being ludicrous. Like, well, obviously, not in order really, to win, but... I'm just going to choose the most famous athletes.
Yeah.
Because that's the easiest way to win this game. And then I was like, nah, I'm going to go with dog surfing.
Well, the funny, like, if you went with most famous athletes, you would have ended up with Tom Brady, which would have been fine. LeBron James probably would not be very good. If you went to, like, hockey, you would end up with Wayne.
Well, Redskins. The thing with, like, crazy athletes is they would be able to adapt.
You would think.
Like, LeBron James would be... Similar reasoning for Tiger Woods or...
Yeah, if
like,
you took them as a child and gave them a disc, they are athletes.
Well, even Tom Brady, if you convinced him... Because what made Tom Brady so good was the amount of time he like dedicated to watching films. Like, if he dedicated that much time to form work...
You're correct.
Yeah.
Like, there's a certain point where disc golf doesn't require skill. It's just you can literally outwork everyone else.
However,
on pro tour if you're an athlete.
Yeah, with disc golf, though, you can't just be good at studying a sport. You have to be good at pioneering it as well. Because there's not much form work for him to study that's proven.
What a point from Big Con.
But I feel like if we take them in their prime, they have years of biomechanic. Like, they worked with so many people. Like, LeBron James is just going to his trainer, showing him the sport. And his trainer is probably doing all the pioneering for us. Because LeBron James is spending millions of years on his
true.
Body.
We need that basketball. Mm-hmm. We like need that basketball money.
If he spent millions of years on discovering
of years?
How... Millions, yep, of dollars a year.
Hey, whoa, man.
Millions of dollars a year discovering how to throw a frisbee the farthest, I think LeBron James would figure it out.
Yeah.
Probably. Okay. Somebody needs to figure it out, how to throw a frisbee the furthest.
I think if you just took any famous rich athlete and put them in disc golf, they would probably outperform everybody else because they have the resources to.
Let's do it.
Well, they also have the... genetics.
Who can we convince?
And they're professional athletes.
Who can we convince?
Well, yeah, and also mainly disc golf at the end of the day. Disc golf at the end of the day is really a lot of just mainly dedication.
Yeah.
Yes.
Most people, we saw that with Paul. Whenever he just practiced, I did the Tiger Woods training thing, then that he just was dominant.
I have been beat senselessly by many a non-athletic person who just plays a lot of disc golf and therefore is very good at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's only at the very highest level do you need to maybe be a bit of an athlete to like get up there to the top. And even then, you only need some. I mean, it's at the end of the day, it is a golf sport. Like, there have been many a professional golfer on the PGA Tour that are not insane athletes. They're just dedicated and they have certain skills, a lot of coordination involved.
They have a certain set of skills.
So I'm actually changing my mind. I'm actually choosing Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
That was it. That was
okay. Joke. We're going to end the show with a very fun. We're going to end the show with a brand new bit. Very fun.
No, it's not a bit. If you say it's a bit, it's not a bit.
Not a bit. Very fun game is what I meant to say.
There you go.
Basically, what we did is we had Silas this week, typically it's going to be All Business Brad, put a random disc in a box.
It can be any disc that we have.
It can be any disc in our warehouse, U-section, their bags.
And because U-section's in play, there are thousands of molds in play.
Yeah, there's so
any
many
mold
molds
that exists is
and
in play.
And we're each just going to guess a mold and just see who gets it right.
This one's easy.
Connor?
This week is really easy, I can tell. It's a Yikun Zen.
Yikun Zen.
Yeah.
I've never been more confident. I'm going to take the Savant from Innova.
I want the P2, the Discmania P2.
I feel like
I'm literally
going to
cry if somebody gets it first week that we try and do this. I'm going to cry.
Oh, it was a Warden.
I was close.
Great
I was
putter.
Really close, yeah.
Great putter. All right.
They're all
there you have
cool.
it. That's week one.
Nobody wins.
No one's got it yet. We'll see you next week.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.